Can you tell me about your new album, Gal Un Wil Lu Haltga Limi?
Yeah, so that translates to Bentwood Box Full of Songs. The title was, I chose that because, you know, this has been a long time coming. It's taken 5 years to make, and there isn't some Aliyah language album that is like available to the public that is, how could I say, that like supported by the fluent speaking elders that I worked on the album with. And it's a special thing. And what we do with bent boxes is it was used and still used for storage of very, very special things. Mm-hmm.
So how much of Somali did you speak before this language? Like you said, this took 5 years. So was part of the 5 years learning or being more familiar with the language, or kind of how much was it already a part of your life?
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't grow up speaking it. There was words and phrases here and there that I would hear. So that definitely helped having those sounds in my brain when I was a tiny tot. But I didn't really like go hard at like learning it until 5 years ago. Like I started like trying to learn basic phrases and stuff like that when I was 17, trying to, you know, put together songs with my cousin, and I was in a metal band at the time called Gibao. But yeah, it was very, very elementary. It was very like a lot of just singular nouns and singular verbs that didn't really flow together or make grammatical sense, because we were just grasping at straws, looking at the dictionary and trying to figure it out. But it wasn't until about 2017 where I started connecting with fluent speakers from back home and learning a little bit more. And then I landed a job with my village doing translation and transcription. And I, you know, had pretty basic knowledge of the language. I was working with a fluent speaking elder. I didn't know the orthography, and I was kind of just tossed into the shark tank kind of thing and learned a lot very quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where'd you record this album?
Yeah, we recorded it in a cedar longhouse in Caen, in Prince Rupert. Yeah. And yeah, just, it was nice because we utilized a lot of that natural reverb that goes in there. And it was just a nice space to, it seemed like the right space to record in.
Because that's not a recording studio.
Yeah, so like, I mean, people can rent it for different things. You know, it is like gatekept a little bit. You know, you're not gonna like rent just like a private party there to go at the longhouse. But it goes through the museum. It's like pretty cheap to rent. I think I explained what I was doing, and I think they only charged me $100, which is really nice for having it for like a week. Mm-hmm. We just had a lot of nice, you know, chill time. We were able to take our time recording it, and yeah, just brought our own gear in there, and it was nice.
Sweet. So, like, to me, your album, I mean, it's, when I first started listening to it, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited someone is making like 20th century sounding country music, because I just love that genre of music so much. But so what, like, but that's how I would describe it. I guess, how would you describe it? And kind of like, how do you feel the album's also getting received now that it just, well, it just released today, but we had heard it before.
Yeah. So yeah, that's an interesting question. There's some, you know, it's a little bit of country, of course, but, and it's a little bit of rock and roll. Some call the fusion of those two things roots rock. But really, I mean, if you really boil it down to like the roots of what these two genres have become, like rock and roll and country, there's a ton of indigenous influence in both of those genres. So you could just make a bold statement and say, this is an indigenous music record.
Right. Mm. Wow, yeah. Is that how you'd like people to just describe it or talk about it as well?
For sure. I think so, especially because I think a lot of people hold this stereotype that traditional indigenous music, you know, involves a drum and singers and that's it. Where like there was just so much more and so much more influence into like the country and rock and roll genres of today, you know, like Charlie Patton and Jimi Hendrix and Buffy St. Marie and, you know, all these people that were bringing, you know, their cultural backgrounds and their knowledge of their own musical traditions into the music through the melodies, through the rhythms and everything like that. So I try to bring that. I tried to bring that in this record too. You'll hear it in a lot of the, there's, that's like a, one of the notes scooping, I guess you could call it, that is a common characteristic of traditional Tsimshian melodies, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm.
And kind of speaking of influences a little bit, I mean, what are some of your influences for this album, musically, artistically, or maybe just in life as well?
Yeah, so the primary influences have been the list of fluent speakers that I have learned from. All of the people back home, you know, there's a great long list. I'm not going to name them all, but I worked primarily with Teresa Lowther. Her name is Huhushk. She's the matriarch of the house that I sit in, the Eagle House that I sit in. Velna Nelson, Ellen Mason, Ben Spencer, those were the main people that I've worked with in my language learning. And yeah, without them, it would be not possible. But yeah, sonically, I'm also fortunate to like work in the archives of the Tsimshian Tsimalayuk Language Authority. So I get to hear all of these different Tsimshian songs from, you know, 100 years ago when they were recorded on wax cylinders and like, and you know, I've digitized these tape resources and stuff like that, and just kind of getting a handle on melodies are occurring in Tsimshian music and what makes a Tsimshian song what it is.
Wow.
That's been a huge influence. And then just like, yeah, cultural experiences, learning from the elders what, you know, our traditions and how we engage with the land and the water and the seasons, and you know, how we show respect and how we keep things in the abundance that they are.
Mm. Does it translate into English lyrically, or is it just that it, because it's its own language, like is it a language isolate as well?
It is mostly. I don't think as much as the Haida language,
yeah.
But yeah, it definitely is. But there's, yeah, random things like we have the same word for foot as Japanese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they say asi, and we say asi.
Oh.
And the word for sockeye salmon is maso. And over in Japan, there's a landlocked salmon that's smaller, kind of like a kokanee, and it's masu.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
So it's not a total isolate.
Do you feel like you're influencing other musicians, though? Like, other Tsimshian artists? Do you feel like, or do you know someone coming up that, like, you'd want to share the stage with, or that you want people to know about as well?
Right. I don't know. I guess that's yet to be seen. Like, once this record hopefully, you know, makes its rounds and people hear it, I mean, that's the goal, is to just like, because I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to be the only one making, you know, like modern / contemporary Tsimshian Tsimalayuk music. So yeah, hopefully there's more. But just like, even doesn't even have to be Tsimalayuk. Like it could be with anything. Like, just really wanting to hope to inspire people to not be afraid to just deviate away from English. Just like throw it away. There's enough English music in the world, and like people's own languages, you know, there's so many that are critically endangered. And you know, having materials like this, having an album, or you know, having film, you know, signage, all kinds of things contribute to the grander scale of language revitalization. And I just hope people do that. That's all I hope. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about Midsummer. So also, congratulations today, your album came out,
yeah.
Was released. But yeah, how do you feel about Midsummer this year? What do you like about performing here?
Yeah, it's always real wholesome vibes. I think this is the fourth time that I've played Midsummer, and I love it. Yeah, it's always nice to connect with all of the buds that are, you know, all the people in the Northwest music scene. It's always nice to see familiar faces. That's what I love the most.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, could you just, I guess, so I have it on record, just the band that you were playing with. Can you tell me who you're playing with today?
Okay, yeah. So I was playing with Danny Bell, who was on the drums, and Brian McNally, who is on the bass.
With a sweet hat.
Yeah, he had a sweet hat.
Yeah,
yeah, we're kind of a hat band.
Yeah, you are a hat band. You're really covering the gamut as well.
Yeah, very, very diverse in our hats.
Okay, thank you so much for speaking with me. This has been really, yeah, it's been a real pleasure to speak with you. And again, I'm just going to gush, but I loved the show so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and thanks for having me.